speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers Radio on the TAN Talk Radio Network with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned on the show where you can find help and hope and probably some laughs. And with me, as always, is my best friend and my co-host and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm a little clump because I have to change my 30 clocks. I started this morning.
She has 30 clocks.
I used to have 41, but I only have 30 now.
Yeah, but better than last year. Last year she changed them all the wrong way.
The wrong way.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even remember it was daylight savings time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you have to do it because it's going to be Eastern Standard tomorrow morning.
So that other voice you hear is our friend Kathy Flora. She is the author of Walking My Mama Home, and we're going to speak to you a little bit about further about your journey with your mom.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, Linda.
I'm so glad you're here today. So what's up this week? You have guests in from Canada, your cousin. Hi, Janet. Hi, Gary.
And they're on the beach right now.
Good. That's where they should be.
They're going to the races tonight.
Yeah.
And the weather's been, well, these last 3 days are good. They were dying at first. That humidity is a killer for them.
Well, I like this little air we got today. I just want to open the window a little bit.
Yeah.
Just want some fresh air. But we have Mr. Vaughn on the boards today. Hey, Vaughn.
Hey, ladies. How you doing today?
Hello,
Joyful
Vaughn.
And grateful, as always. And I want to give a shout-out to our newest listeners. We have Jeanette in Virginia, Sherry in Alabama, Teresa in Tennessee, and Melissa in Grand Rapids, which will be in Grand Rapids next May.
Welcome.
Maybe we'll get to meet you, Melissa.
And what did you do yesterday?
What did I do yesterday? Oh, yesterday was the Field of Honor with my Kiwanis group, and we installed 425 flags, 3x5 big flags on big poles in front of the post office and the city hall right across from St. Pete College on 113th Avenue in Seminole, and it is the Field of Honor up for the month of November. Just honoring veterans. So each flag has a streamer on it. It has a name of a veteran and their years of service. And every year, if you do it again, you get a different color streamer. So some have one, some have four.
I have three, but like you said, now I don't have the same name on everything.
No.
He was John, but I always called him Jack.
So one year she sent it in with John, and then she sent it in with Jack. So.
Oh, boy.
We know who he is.
Yeah,
and I'm
right.
Not even sure the dates he was in. He went in, I think, the year I was born. And he was in Korea. But anyway, he's got his flag. He'll laugh.
No, I'm telling you. It was so awesome. And thank you. Thank you to my wonderful Kiwanis Club of Seminole. But thank you to Duke Energy.
Yes.
Through an alliance with Duke Energy, they put up like a 30-foot full pole with ambient lighting for us because this is the fifth year. And the first year we had 24 flags. Then it was 100 and something and whatever. And this year it's 425. Well, they're 24/7, those flags are up, and they need to be lit. But as we were putting those flags in yesterday, there was a chance of rain. You know how it is here. The wind was just blowing. The volunteers were just there.
Did you have a lot of volunteers?
Yeah, it was great. The whole thing was done in like 2.5 hours.
Wow.
425 flags in alphabetical order. You know, you got to get to pick up the flag, bring it to another table, have them put the streamer on, go to where the white hole, you know.
Did you put Jackson?
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
I put Jackson.
Johns.
I put in my dad's. I put in my husband Tom's. I put in Devin's.
Did you? Good.
I put in Patty's.
Ray have one?
Yes, and I put in my brother-in-law's dad, Martin Pfeffer.
Pfeffer. Pepper.
So, yeah. Yes, Pfeffer Pepper, which I found out that's what the name means when I was in Germany.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, it was a great day. It was a great day.
And it was lovely. You didn't have the humidity, so
yes,
that was nice.
Yes, it was lovely.
You didn't make it to dinner at my house, so you were tired.
No, I was tired. So, anyway, so...
And I wasn't making anything you really liked.
I want to talk about a couple of things, because Tammy Taylor is getting ready to call in, but there's two things I want to talk about. One is, this is National Family Caregivers Month, and Lynn and I want to pay tribute to the millions of Americans across the nation who selflessly care for family members who are chronically ill, who are elderly or have a disability. You know, family caregivers are the foundation of our country. 44 million caregivers assist loved ones, from eating to bathing to dressing to essential tasks of balancing a checkbook, going to a doctor's. And we know that it is challenging. This is very challenging to caregivers. And so I want to say thank you for your service and your sacrifice. And I want to say I'm so glad that you're tuning into the show, because I think you'll find resources that will help you on that journey, so that you'll have a little bit of time to find the joy in the journey and to find a couple of laughs and whatever and just make it a little better. So I just want to say that I honor you for that today. One other thing I want to say is I've been speaking a lot to caregivers about journaling, because many times when you journal, you can just get it out. There's a physicality about writing, about getting something down on a piece of paper. People are like, oh yeah, Linda, like, you think I have time to write? If you can find that little time, I think it'll be healing in a lot of ways. So I got this email from somebody the other day, and this is what they wrote. Dear Dementia, she just wanted to help me, but you get in there and have her do things that drive me crazy. I'm tired. I just wanted to quickly clean the kitchen, put on my jammies, crawl into bed, and allow my body and mind to rest so tomorrow I can do it all over again. She just wanted to help me as she cut up an avocado half I was hoping to save for tomorrow. She just wanted to help me as she put paper plates into the dishwasher. She just wanted to help me when she attempted to put the dirty utensils away in the drawer. Mm. She just wanted to help me when she tried to wash a bowl but couldn't figure out how to turn on the sink. Why do I get so frustrated with her when all she's trying to do is help me? Dementia, why do you have to make simple things so difficult? She just wanted to help me. So I took a deep breath and I let her. And when I thanked her for doing so, I realized it was helping her too. So Dementia, she and I will continue to help each other. I wanted to let you know that. Love, Laura. Oh, P.S. Dementia, you suck.
Isn't that the truth?
Isn't that the truth?
You can't wash paper plates in the dishwasher.
No, you can't wash paper plates in the dishwasher.
Jeez.
But think about that, please, guys. Think about that and try to get your feelings out and think about where people are coming from. So right now we have the health coach detective, Tammy Taylor, on the line.
Hello, everyone. How are you today?
Joyful and grateful. Tammy, how are you?
Very good.
Nice to hear your voice again.
Yes, nice to hear you as well.
So we were talking about National Caregivers Month, but Family Caregivers Month, but it is also, November is also National Diabetes Month.
It is. Yes, it is. And this year's focus for Diabetes Month is the link between diabetes and cardiovascular disease. There's actually 30 million Americans that have diabetes and 84 million that have pre-diabetes. And 90 to 95% of these with diabetes is type 2. The good news is that pre-diabetes can be reversed. And type 2 diabetes most often develops in people over the age of 45, but actually more and more children, teens, and young adults in America these days are developing it. And type 2 diabetes results from the body's ineffective use of insulin. So I want to talk a little bit about, because the link for this month, focusing on National Diabetes Month is diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And actually, people with diabetes have a 2 to 3-fold increased risk of heart attacks and strokes.
Wow.
Yeah. And then combined with the reduced blood flow, neuropathy in the feet increases the chance of foot ulcers, infection, and eventually the potential need for the loss of a limb.
That's frightening.
And then it is, and part of this is, you know, with type 2 diabetes, it can be managed. And of course, pre-diabetes, it can be reversed. So there is a lot of hope for people who have diabetes currently, or who may have a higher blood sugar and have been told by their doctor they need to watch and monitor that. So we're going to talk a little bit as well about some things that that can help with that. But just one more thing with diabetes, another common consequence is kidney failure. So there are a lot of things that can happen if diabetes is not managed or prevented.
So Tammy, I think the first thing we have to do is get that diagnosis.
Yes.
You know, so it's important to go for I don't know how to get the diagnosis.
Blood test.
You go for your yearly checkup and you get a blood test?
You definitely need to. Yes. And almost all type 2 diabetes, it starts with pre-diabetes. So if you get that yearly check, you're going to know if your blood sugar is picking up. And then you can, you know, make some of those changes. But a lot of Americans don't go to the doctor until after they have these massive symptoms. And so there's a lot of people who are walking around with diabetes and don't actually know it until they get some of these consequences happening, and then they realize that they have that. So you are so right. We should be getting an annual checkup, a simple blood work, because it's always included, you know, the glucose.
Well,
it's
funny, Tammy, it makes me think, so I bring my car into Jiffy Lube to get my oil changed because I know I'm supposed to do that every 4,000 miles or whatever, but I don't take my own body into the doctor once a year
to get
my oil changed. You know what I'm saying?
Just to get the checkup.
Really, we need to pay attention to that because you think, okay, I feel okay, I don't really need to go for a checkup and everything, but like stuff could be going on and you don't really know it. If you didn't do that with the car, stuff would go on.
Exactly. And, you know, this can be prevented and it can be reversed. And with, you know, those with full-blown diabetes, it can be managed. So, you know, most of us don't want to do it, but most of us don't want to go to Jiffy Lube either.
What do caregivers need to know about diabetes?
Well, while caring for a loved one with diabetes, it's important to remember that management is important to keep that diabetes in check. We've just been talking about that. But I also want caregivers to be aware that stress and lack of sleep can increase the risk of developing it. So caregivers are under a lot of stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get a lack of sleep. And so you're saying this all the time. Caregivers need to take care of themselves. So this is really an instance where I want to reinforce that, because stress can affect us in two ways. Well, there's two types of stress, physical stress and emotional stress. And the mental, emotional stress, I'm a caregiver, caregivers go through it. And it's a matter of taking time throughout the day, taking moments, if that's all you can have, to doing what you know that works for you to reduce that stress.
Like breathing?
Like breathing.
Sometimes I think a caregiver just got to sit down for 3 minutes.
Tammy, does gaining weight help make it worse?
It does. Yes, it does. Because a lot of people who are gaining weight, of course, are not eating the right kind of food, mm-hmm. right? They're eating a lot of processed food. It's full of chemicals. But the other thing that it's doing is creating inflammation in the body, which then increases the weight gain even more. So it's kind of a double whammy, and this is one of the things that also contributes to diabetes. So you're absolutely right, Lynn.
So Tammy, what are some like natural remedies we can talk about?
Okay, so there's some really good things. Let me get to that. There was a recent study by Oklahoma University that showed that people with diabetes who ate raspberries along with a meal had significantly lower blood glucose 2 to 4 hours after eating them. And after a month of eating the raspberries every day, participants' inflammation markers and blood pressure were reduced as well.
Wow.
So if you like raspberries, I recommend you go out and you get a bunch and you eat them every day.
Yeah, I like raspberries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't put too much sugar on them, though.
No, I just want to eat them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And then there's been a few studies that have suggested that alpha-lipoic acid, supplement may actually enhance the body's ability to use its own insulin to lower the blood sugar in people with type 2 diabetes, and it also helps reduce the symptoms of the peripheral neuropathy, which is the nerve damage that's caused
by
diabetes.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Remember Jack's? Horrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. And then most people with diabetes have a deficiency in magnesium and chromium. Now, that can be found on a blood test. You can go to your doctor and ask. But I've talked about magnesium in the past.
Yeah.
And this is something that our body utilizes in many functions every single day, and our bodies do not create, it doesn't manufacture magnesium, so we have to get it from our food. And a lot of people aren't eating enough food that's rich in magnesium, so I would talk to your doctor about getting a magnesium supplement, because that is, it's shown to benefit blood sugar levels, and so it's really something that's very important with people who have diabetes.
And what foods are rich in it?
A lot of your leafy green vegetables.
The broccoli in it.
And mushrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. So, salads every day, that's a good thing.
Oh.
I eat salads every day, and anybody who likes salads, the more salads you can eat, the better, actually.
So, Tammy, though, people don't, do they die from diabetes? Do they die from the stroke? Or they die from a heart attack or whatever? How does that, what's the correlation?
Well, because there's a lot of inflammation and diabetes actually affects the blood flow, it's kind of a twofold thing. They're sort of overlapping, and because diabetes is a metabolic disorder, and it's affecting the insulin level, and then the rest of your body has to work harder, and the blood flow is more difficult. Now you're getting, a lot, you can clot easier. So it's just putting stress on the system, and, then you're 2 to 3 times higher at risk of the stroke or heart attack. And then the other thing, that can be fatal is people who do not pay attention, and this is maintenance, people who do not take their blood sugar every day, people who are not eating the way they know they should, the way they've been skilled. You can go to your doctor, there's nutritionists, there's plenty of information. You can go to diabetes.org, there's plenty of information on there about what to eat and what not to eat. And it's really important, because if a diabetic person allows their insulin to go too high, they can go into diabetic coma.
So you know what? So once again, Tammy, people have a choice.
Yes.
You have a choice about what you do. So pay attention to this. You don't want to have to be shooting a needle every day. You don't want to have to be doing that stuff. So go for your yearly physical. I don't know if you know about this, Tammy, but aren't there places where you can just go and be tested, and they'll tell you what you're deficient in? It's they'll tell you what more vitamins you need, whether you're deficient in this or that, yes?
Well, there's certain blood tests you can get, yes, that will test all your nutrients, your minerals, your vitamins, everything that you would be low in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds kind of smart.
You can ask your doctor about that. Yeah.
I think that sounds kind of smart. If you're doing it, just get the whole thing tested when you're there, because you could look good on one piece of paper, but on another piece of paper you could find out, I just went to the doctor recently, said everything's good, but my protein is a little low. So so that's something I know. Now, normally people, I guess, don't get tested for that, but my doctor tests for a bunch of stuff, so now I know I need to eat a little bit more.
Yeah, but you just give him blood also.
Yeah, and it was really, I had donated blood 2 days before I went for my blood test, so I guess that wasn't so smart either. But anyway.
That might have affected it, because your body is trying to refund it. Yeah.
Yeah, really. But anyway, what's the last thing you want to tell our caregivers, Tammy?
Well, caregivers, take care of yourself. And I'll end it with this, and this is for caregivers and their loved ones they're caring for. Getting grounded. Go outside, put your feet on the ground, do it for 2 hours, 30 minutes, however much you can do it in a day, because this actually improves stress, it reduces inflammation, it does help with diabetes indirectly. So,
it helps with everything.
Stress. It does. And so caregivers, love yourself and take care of yourself and check yourself.
Yeah.
Go to the doctor and get yourself checked too. And if you realize that your stress is high and your sugar's a little high, take it seriously. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for being with us, Tammy, today. Where can our listeners find you, except on my website? Where else can they find you?
At aceyourhealth.com.
And that's your Facebook page too, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ace Your Health.
All right. Thanks so much, Tammy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a great show.
You too. Have a delicious day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. So, there's so many things we have to take care of, we have to think about, especially as caregivers. I think we neglect our health totally.
Yeah.
I think the person we're taking care of, we're getting everything tested for them, we're checking out, but we neglect ourselves totally. So we're going to come back after we hear from our wonderful partners and talk to Kathy and talk about her book and talk about a few different things. So, you know the story. Don't go away, because if you don't hear from our partners, you won't hear from me.
Oh.
See you on Connected Caregivers Radio.
Scary business, Lenny.
Yeah.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211. In Pasco, call 813-280-4383 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call. VoxLife realizes that people of all ages and walks of life are focused on wellness and optimal performance. Wellness consumers are looking for products that will enhance the quality of life and are asking for natural, safe solutions for more energy, pain relief, and enhanced mobility. Well, VoxLife is the answer. VoxLife has harnessed the power of neuroscience and neuroactivation and spent 6 years developing HPT. HPT instantly improves the user's strength, energy, stability, balance, and range of motion while providing natural pain relief. And this is done so easily with their socks and insoles at a very affordable price. I know when I go to the gym, I can see the difference immediately when I have my VoxLife socks on. And they also have helped many of my caregivers and their families. For more information, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They've helped me and they can help you too. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue
for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
You know what I say, caregivers, when somebody asks if they can help you, say thank you very much. And especially this month of November, being National Family Caregivers Month, go over to your neighbor, do something nice for your neighbor. Now, you may be a caregiver that's listening to this show and you're going, yeah, like I have time to do something nice for you, my neighbor. Well, maybe like if your neighbor's caring for somebody too, you could just like take a turn. Like one person could take care of the two loved ones for a couple hours while the other one gets a little breather or gets a little nap. Or maybe you could take turns going to the grocery store or something like that. Or I really believe if you sit down and you just pay attention, people are asking to help you, but you're saying, no, you're okay. And we know you're not really okay. So please let somebody help you.
Yes.
So welcome, Kathy, to the show.
Welcome,
thank you,
Kathy.
Linda. Thank you, Lynn.
We just met like a month ago at the Fearless Caregiver Conference in Tampa. And I'm so glad that we met. I'm so glad that you gave me your book. Any book about a daughter and a mother is right up my alley. That's one thing for sure.
We have a lot in common, don't we,
a
Linda?
A lot in common. And, yeah. And, you know, I read different books about different journeys of women with their moms. And they're all their own story, but there's that common thread. That's that stuff that's exactly the same. There's that feeling of doubt, that feeling of fear, that feeling of, oh, yeah, everything's just fine, or maybe I'm just a little exaggerating. And then there's that whole family dynamic.
There is a lot that goes on when somebody gets diagnosed, but there's a lot that goes on way before the diagnosis ever happens.
Well, the thing is, too, but we don't consider any of that at the time.
Not at the time. In fact, I was completely blindsided by it, and I was believing what she was telling me rather than what I was seeing. You know, and what I knew historically, she was this really strong lady.
Smart.
I always tell the story. She was an RN who worked till she was 72 in the heart hospital and worked on the telemetry unit and was sharp as a tack, and all of a sudden, you know, when she's living distantly and she's telling us everything's okay, we believe her till we visit.
Yes.
And we see the smears of ice cream on the floor and the stacked up food in the freezer and, you know, just the little messes everywhere.
And
she used to be fastidious
all the time. Mm-hmm. So you call up mom or dad or whatever and they're like, yeah, we're good. You know, they don't tell you they fell down, their whole leg's black and blue. They don't even tell you, like, you know, they went in the ambulance 2 weeks ago for something like that, because they don't want to burden you, and they don't want to lose their independence. I don't want to feel like I'm failing and my kids got to take care of me, you know, or anything like that. So, and I think you'll agree with me, long-distance caregivers, you need to go visit, and you need to visit at a surprise time. Not when you're coming for Thanksgiving, because they'll fancy everything up, they'll get their team together.
Yep.
They can fake it for a couple days, you know, or whatever, but you need to do that, right?
You need to do it. You need to drop in. And it's not always easy, because I know with my siblings, we lived in the four corners of the country and then one in the middle. And Jim and I were the closest. We were 2.5 hours away. Mom lived up in the Villages. And praise God for her friends and the people that were around her.
They told you?
Well, after my dad
died.
Not
the beginning from what I read in the book.
They didn't tell me right away, but I did. We did throw a Thanksgiving dinner for her friends, feeling really guilty about the fact that we knew that Mom was depending on them a lot. And the brothers of two of her best friends called us into the kitchen and said, you know, your mom is depending on them an awful lot, and maybe she shouldn't live alone. Well, this was on Thanksgiving. It was not until February that I finally got a call from her friend Cheryl, who said, you know, Kathy, she pulled out in front of a car in her golf cart. Now, get this. Mom had macular degeneration, 4,400 vision. We still hadn't really taken away the golf cart. We took away the car, but not the golf cart. She pulled out in front of a truck. She could have been killed. She could have hurt somebody else. And Cheryl said, Kathy, you got to come get your mom. She can't live here anymore. So we had to talk to her about this, and we waited too long to talk to her about it.
Yeah.
We probably should have had that conversation a long time before that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we saw
inklings. We should be having these conversations now about what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, yeah. So have those conversations. Jim and I just put together our own plans for what would happen if something ever happens to us and sat down and told our kids about it, sort of. But I don't know if they really get it. You know, Mom used to say to us, I don't want to live with you kids.
That's what my mother always said. I never live with you.
Never live with you kids. And then she'd also say, well, if I spend all my money, you'll just have to take care of me.
Yeah.
But when the time came, she was really angry at us for saying you can't live here anymore.
Of course she was.
Yeah. I don't blame her. I mean, think about it. We had to tear her away from all her friends, all her
family. Well, and plus she has the vision problem.
Yeah.
She has you can barely see, and now you're taking you to a new place.
And a new place, and, you know, nobody that she knows, and she can't recognize faces because she has the hole in her vision in the front. Mm. But you know what? She got there, and she thrived. We put her, asked if she wanted to come and see some places Jim and I had explored. And she did come down and look at some places, and she ended up in an independent living first because we didn't have a diagnosis of dementia. We thought it was her eyesight.
Right.
And aging.
And aging. And, you know, she's vibrant. And guess what? When she started eating right and she started having people around her all the time, she thrived there for 5 whole years. She was fantastic for 5 whole years. She even fell in love and had a boyfriend.
Aww.
It was the sweetest thing.
So did my husband, but I was still around.
Yeah. Well, after the dementia, my mom had several others. They all showed up different times in different places, but they weren't real. But she'd say to me, Kathy, don't make them go away. I want them to stay as long as they can.
Aww.
It was just the sweetest
thing. And she had a nice experience with him, too, right?
She did. She did. She had some experiences in her delusions that were magical, which is not the case with many people.
Right.
My mother went from being a very, very driven woman to being a sweetheart, just an absolute sweetheart. And her images that she'd have in her delusions, which we think is Lewy body, sometimes were frightening, but most of the time were sweet. She had an old boyfriend come sing to her with her sister. Well, both of them were dead, and they had passed away long ago, but she remembered that, and she talked about it, and she told the doctor it was wonderful. So we were really lucky.
And it's okay, because you know what? When a 2-year-old kid tells you, oh, yeah, I went on an adventure with Mary, and we went through the forest, and we saw the unicorn, you go, oh, that's great. I'm glad you had a really good time. You don't say, that was fake, that's not real. Why, you know, and we have to think about that. I hate comparing seniors or someone with dementia or Alzheimer's to children. But I think the best way to describe that is just to have that empathy and have that feeling for just another human being, whether it's a child or an adult. And if you know that someone is failing, just go with the flow.
Exactly. I think you have to, and I learned this over time, you have to live with their spirit as opposed to what you expect or hope that they are.
And expectations are not good.
They're not good because you never know what it's going to be.
Right, and they don't either.
I mean, Mom called me one time. She said, Kathy, get over here. I've got the Beatle tickets. They're in my purse, and we're going to miss the concert. I said, okay, Mom, I'll be there at 1 o'clock this afternoon and we'll have lunch. She said, okay, that's great.
Right. Exactly.
It didn't make any sense, but I learned to go with it through support groups and through talking to other people. And it made things so much better.
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't even know my mother had dementia. My mother had stage 4 colon cancer. That's what we were dealing with. But my mother had dementia. I just thought my mom was being goofy. But as things progressed, then I realized there were some issues. But I still didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Linda, there's squirrels under my bed. There's squirrels under my bed.
Well, she couldn't read anymore.
Right. But she lives in this beautiful place. We knew there was no squirrels under the bed. Yeah. You know, there was no squirrels even near the... And so I just, like, took the broom and hid under the bed and told her the squirrels were away just because I didn't want her to be upset. I didn't know what I was dealing with.
You lived right where she was.
Yeah.
My mom had those same things with animals flying by her head in the night. Mm-hmm. And, of course, without being able to see, she thought.
That's scary.
But she could see their beady eyes under the dresser, and she'd call us up, and she'd say, come get me. I can't sleep here. So we had the people who were in her facility come in and put traps down and all kinds of things. What I didn't realize is this was the progression towards the dementia because she hadn't gotten a diagnosis yet. We just thought she was imagining things or having hallucinations, or whatever. And it wasn't until she was actually Baker acted one day that we ended up discovering that that's what it was.
And so my husband, he would see animals as soon as the light went off at night.
Uh-huh.
I just gave him softballs and little packs of tissues and a flashlight.
Great idea.
And he would scare them away and then he was fine.
And then he was fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like you're just winging it because you don't really know.
You don't know what to do. I never knew what this
you
was.
You had no education at the time either.
None whatsoever.
And we were friends and I was just beginning to have education on this stuff. So I wasn't helpful with anything, but you're brilliant.
Well,
you just wanted him to be okay and not to be upset.
Easier. He used to start, tell my son, go get John and tell him. I said, honey, he's in South Carolina. He just went downstairs. I said, I'll catch him when he comes up. And then he'd forget.
But, you know, it's like what you and I were talking about the other day. We're people pleasers. We're pacifists.
Yes.
We're that, you know, for someone that's not doesn't have that kind of personality, I'm sure it can be very difficult. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I think it would be particularly difficult if you've lived with the person your whole life. Like, I dealt with my mother. I have a dear friend who helped me through all this, who is dealing with her spouse. And in your case, Lynn, and you have a different relationship with them.
Yeah.
And to watch them deteriorate would be really, really difficult. And you got to have empathy for that. That's a tough one.
So they Baker acted your mom. My husband was Baker acted a lot, too. That's the worst. It's terrible, but what else can they do?
But you know what? There's education all around here. If you knew that was going to happen, you wouldn't have dialed 911.
See, that's the thing. And I say in my book, what happened.
Because she didn't know about what's a Baker act.
Yeah, but
what
my husband called 911, so I didn't have a chance.
See, I had heard about Baker acting, but I thought it was only for, like, kids. I don't know why I didn't make the connection.
Right.
And then what happened is Mom had a dissected aorta. I call her the 5% woman because she lived through that, and nobody does without surgery. 5% of the people, apparently. And so that was like 6 months before all these delusions started happening. And when her person who was coming in every morning to give her pills actually called me and said, something's really wrong with your mom. She's threatening me and all this. And she was in the midst of a delusion where she thought she was going to go save a city and that the world was divided in red people and blue people. And blue people were bad and red people were good. And I thought, whoa, she must be throwing a clot again or something. You know, I'm not medical. I don't know.
Right.
And so I called 911. Well,
thinking you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. I'll never do that again. Now, granted, if she had another heart situation or something, maybe I would. But at the time, it was what I thought was right. And we spent an entire day in the hospital with nobody willing to talk to me. And she was in a psych emergency room.
So if you're not whacked already, you will be now.
You will because it's freezing cold. You can't get out. And then they came in and got her and said to me, we're taking your mother now. I said, where?
Yeah.
They wouldn't talk to me. And we were able to get her out 3 days later, but it was not a good situation. You know what the good news is, though? Since this happened, I have heard that in our community they have established a geriatric site ward in that hospital she was.
That's
so
great.
That makes me feel so much better.
Yeah.
Because it was needed and it wasn't available then.
I love when
then.
You picked her up, she was like doing the Great Escape.
Oh, wasn't she something?
She's like, bust me out of here.
Because what happens is with Lewy body, I mean, you clear up sometimes and my mom is perfectly normal.
And she's like, I know what I got to do. Just get me out of here.
She says, Kathy, I went through nursing school. I know I'm in a psych hospital. She says, you got to get me out of here. So we got her out of there. She was a dear. Oh, my goodness. And my mom's still with us, but she doesn't live with me anymore. She's up in Indiana because we had to evacuate her during Hurricane Irma. She's not driving. Is she thriving? I would say she's thriving. But I would say she goes through her periods of ups and her downs.
She's 94.
She's
right?
94 years old. Yep. And she's alive and healthy, although there's been times when we actually called hospice thinking she was not going to make it. But wow, she is just the most vital spirit. Mm. Even
if this is aside from she was in the Villages, right?
Right, right.
But my niece's father lives there, and when he was starting to, they moved him to a facility there.
That facility was not available, and it wasn't built yet when mom was going through that.
That's pretty nice, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Can all come and visit you. Because I was surprised, because the Villages, I mean, it's all older people. Mm-hmm. But that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great option.
Then the friends can come still. And
Yeah, and family can't always be nearby. We were lucky. We moved to Florida because of my job, and we were reasonably close. And mom didn't want to move out of state to be with anybody else.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, everybody was working at the time, all of our sibs, and so it really was better to have her close by.
Sure.
She was 10 minutes from me, and then eventually 5 minutes from Lynn, my
sister.
Well,
we're going to come back in a minute or two because we're going to hear from our wonderful partners and a couple last questions I want to ask
you.
So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
Okay. Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
You know what it is when you hear those horns. It's time to get your paper and pen because Lynn's got good stuff to tell you.
I do.
Yeah, you do.
On November 5th from 10 to 11:30 a.m., Arden Courts of Largo is having a free dementia education seminar featuring Dr. Sunny. To RSVP, call 727-559-8411.
Yeah, and he's going to have the seminar, and he's also going to have a time for questions. So to have the opportunity to go and ask some questions of that great doctor is a good thing.
Yes. And then on November 6th, from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m., with registration at 2 p.m. at Bethel Lutheran Church in Clearwater, is another free dementia seminar featuring guest speaker Eileen
Poley.
Please RSVP to 771-1600.
Eileen's from the USF Bird Institute and just a ton of resources.
Perfect. November 13th from 10 to 1 p.m. at St. Catherine of Siena Catholic Church at 1955 South Belcher Road in Clearwater is a free seminar on making the move. There will be memory screenings and a virtual dementia tour. Our Linda Burhans will be the guest speaker. And address your concerns about your loved ones as they transition to assisted living.
Yes, I will be there, and yes, please come.
I'm coming, right?
Yeah, not just to hear my yakking, but...
That's not why I'm
They're going to have that virtual dementia tour there.
I'm going on that.
And if you have not, if you're dealing with anyone in dementia and you have not been on a virtual dementia tour, you need to go on a virtual dementia tour because your whole view is going to change about everything. There's also going to be memory screening and stuff, so please come here and just find out about these resources and take that virtual dementia tour.
And the speech will be wonderful.
Yeah, I'll entertain you.
On November 15th, from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Pasadena Community Church in St. Petersburg is a special event for caregivers and their loved ones. From 10:30 to 12 p.m., you can mingle with adoptable cats and dogs from the SPCA.
That's cool.
And 12 to 1 p.m., Dr. Kate McCarty, Dementia Coach, will talk about caregivers' strategies for the holidays. For more information, call 727-209-8282. And Dr. Kate's wonderful.
Dr. Kate is the bomb. And you know what? We all need strategies for the holidays. Not even if you're just dealing with somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia. If you're dealing with any family members, you need some strategies for the holidays.
Yeah.
So
they're stressful.
They are stressful.
But I heard yesterday that when people start decorating their houses, it's not great for people with dementia. It just makes you happy.
Yeah, it makes you happy. But if you're going to decorate with somebody with dementia...
Yeah, you don't do
okay,
that.
Don't be with the blinking lights and stuff.
No.
You can bring out the manger. You can bring out some stuff. Don't bring out, like, too many snowmen or stuff either. It could kind of, like, scare them sometimes. The face. You know, you don't think about it. You think it's so cute. And then they're like, the snowman is looking at me. Or, you know, or something like that. Just keep it simple. Just spend your time with in conversation. And one of the most important things is please have a, when you're having a lot of people to the house, whether it's for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever it is, have a quiet room where you could just go in, maybe not just your loved one, maybe you need to go in there for 15, 20 minutes and just breathe.
That's the truth.
But have a quiet room where you could, anyone can get away. It's kind of cool if mom's like a little overwhelmed with everything and she can go in the quiet room and then grandchildren could take different turns going in and having some
one
chatting.
On one.
You know, I think it works out much better. So, Kathy, give us some last words to our caregivers on what they need to know, on what they need to look out for, or whatever your last powerful words are.
Last powerful words. I don't know how powerful they are, but I think you said it. You need to take care of yourself. I ended up not even knowing how stressed I was.
Yeah.
When mom went up to Indiana, I did not remember saying this to my sister, but I said, I just can't do it anymore. And they stepped up and they took mom on. And I actually was mad because I don't remember saying I couldn't do it anymore. But the fact is they did exactly what they needed to do and exactly what I asked for.
Right.
So do take care of yourself. Find your team. Find some friends you can talk to. Make sure that if you're uncertain, you go to the pros. We found a great elder attorney. We found wonderful doctors. You need to call on your team. You don't have to do it all yourself.
You know, one time I did a support group and this woman came in and her husband was just diagnosed with Parkinson's. She came in, she wept most of the group. She had no power of attorney, nothing, blah, blah, blah. And I said to her, can I send in the troops? And she looked at me like, what? Well, I could have said, go to my website. There's a lot of really good resources there. Or here's a bunch of business cards. She was paralyzed.
Right.
And she came like 2 months later to the support group and she said, I'm not crying anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now by this time she had hooked up with a home health care company. Didn't need it yet, but hooked up. Elder care attorney got her papers in order, got long-term health care insurance for herself, made some final, you know, kind of thing.
Important.
But now she didn't have all that on her head. She trusted me and the resources I could bring in, and we have great resources in this area. And there are great resources everywhere. And if you don't have a resource and you need a resource, contact me. I will find you the resource. But we need to get that stuff in order so we can really deal with the important stuff.
And plan for longevity, because we're living longer.
Much
and
longer.
And my mom is 94. I always said to her, you're going to live to be 100. We planned for 93. And so really did. We had, my husband did a spreadsheet.
Like financially.
And we just figured, well, you know, that's a lot longer than anybody else lived in her family. But she's going strong. So you've got to know, what are you going to do when things get even deeper? So make a plan, and make a plan for yourself.
Yeah.
Because you may not or may have family that's going to take care of you, but you've got to figure out what will happen with you, too.
And you may have family that you think are going to take care of you, or that,
or maybe they can't
really love you very much, but they're not capable, and they don't know, and they don't really know your wishes.
Right.
You know, many people say, oh, I would love to go into a community because I'm lonely as heck as home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like it there. There are other people that live in their own little neighborhood and they still go to Bridge and they still go do stuff, and that's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but let's not limit anybody to what they can do. And that's like, you know, like the woman said this morning that sent that email and the person was just trying to help. Mom just wanted to help doing this. Don't take everything away from our loved ones. Because if you
That's
take everything
very
away, you know,
good
it's,
lesson
it's
to learn.
So difficult. I know it's so difficult.
Because it takes so long.
We can
and
do
you
it
get
so much
frustrated.
Faster.
And stop trying to do everything for them.
Yes.
Right.
Just do the things behind the scenes if you can.
Right.
Like we took and paid mom's bills and things, but she still dressed herself and everything else until very recently.
Yeah.
And boy, is she stylish.
Yeah.
And when you take her shopping, she knows. She can't see, but she can sure pick out the greatest outfits. You know? It's wonderful.
You know, those nurses, there's just something about those nurses with longevity. They have a knack. They have a... My sister's a nurse in Maine. God bless Patty. I think she'll live to 100. You know, she's just got that kind of... I think they're, like, determined, and they've been through so much. It's,
absolutely.
It's really very interesting.
Very competent. And I tell you one last thing. I grew from being a caregiver.
Yeah.
My spirit slowed down. My ability to trust and to see hope and to see, I call it through the veil, to what really matters, came from me being able to put everything aside and see my mother and her spirit. So it was a real blessing.
Yeah.
And not always can you see it that way.
No.
But looking back, it was a real gift.
Thank you so much for being with us today. I'm so glad. Where can our readers find you, and where can they find your book?
Well, they can find me at Kathy Flora.
With a K. Spell
it out. K-A-T-H-Y-F-L-O-R-A. Kathy at KathyFlora.com. And the book is on Amazon.
And all the information, you know, will be on my website. Thank you so much for tuning in today, caregivers. I know it's not easy just to be sitting around listening to a show. Maybe you're walking around the house listening to it, or driving or whatever. But I'm really glad that you tuned in today. I really appreciate you and everything that you do for the caregivers. Remember that God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
To brighten up even your darkest night, you just call.